6-1-3 Wrestling. With your hosts, Kyle Joseph and Mark Cote.
Hello, welcome, 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 welcome to 613 Wrestling Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to lie, this is my fifth time making this recording. Apologies for last week's episode, guys. Long story short, the podcast platform that I use to record the podcast that then synchronizes to all of the other podcasts is Anchor. And first and foremost, I want to say Anchor is awesome. Anchor is a free platform that allows you to create an account, upload your podcast, and it also allows you to share your podcast to other podcast platforms. You know, here at 613 Wrestling Podcast, we're not just on Anchor. We're also found on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, and all of the great podcast applications. But last week, I recorded a great episode on Thursday, and when I went to upload it, and it was pretty late at night, and the application crashed. I went on the website, and the recording was gone. So I went back onto the app, and for whatever reason, the show I pieced together, I would say it was about an hour and a half long, was just no longer there. So that kind of sucked. Then over the weekend, I attempted to find time to record again. So I recorded again, and it did the exact same thing. Eventually, again on the weekend, I tried to make another recording, and I just felt like I was going through it to go through it, and I felt I was speeding through things. I wasn't speaking as passionately about, you know, because so much has gone on. Superstar shakeup, you know, the last 2 weeks of Raw and SmackDown, so many different things going on. So what I decided to do after the fourth time that it didn't work, and I found I was just crushing and pushing, trying to push a square into a circle hole, I just said, you know what, I'm going to take a couple of days, I'm going to rewind. Work's been very, very busy. I've been a little bit under the weather, but I figured, you know what, let's take a couple of days and clear the brain and do a nice new episode this week. So once again, guys, I do apologize. Thank you for all of the love you've shown the last couple of weeks of the podcast. As I always say, we're small but we're mighty. And I appreciate each and every one of you that tune in each and every week. And my hopes is, by the looks of it, I made a little sample podcast, a little couple of minute test, and I uploaded it very quickly, and it seemed to work. So my hope is that if you're listening to this, it worked. but yeah, let's get into things. So obviously, over the last couple of weeks, guys, so much has gone on. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to cover everything, not without trying. What I really want to do is, you know, this week, you know, no major pay-per-views have gone on. We know we have Money in the Bank coming up. That's starting to take shape in itself. But what I want to do is go over the Superstar Shake-Up, review who has moved to what brand, talk about, you know, our F5 of the week, which is the Fabulous Five, which is I recap the top five individuals who I think stood out the most on Raw and SmackDown, or just in wrestling in general, as well as the highs and lows of the week. So let's kind of jump right into the Superstar Shakeup. Yeah, I was going to start with the highs and lows, but I think maybe it's easier to, you know, jump right into the Superstar Shakeup. All right, so obviously we had, you know, last week's Raw and SmackDown, the Superstar Shakeup kind of occurred. Just like the last couple of years, we've seen individuals, you know, show up on Raw, but you don't really know if they're going to stay on Raw. You know, like, for example, you know, you might see, who is it here? Like, Aleister Black, for example, you know, was on Raw one night and then SmackDown the next night. And it seems like you really have to wait until the end of SmackDown to really kind of see who's found a home on what brand. However, there was also some changes throughout, and I really hope that I capture it today. And actually quite interesting as well, and I definitely entertain, you know, I suggest and entertain you guys to go to WWE.com and actually go to their Superstars tab, where then you can scroll down after you see all the champions from each brand. You can actually break down each brand itself, Raw, SmackDown, NXT. And it's quite interesting when you see the names that are on the brands, and they're quite good at keeping this up to date, but you see the people who we haven't really seen in a little bit, and you kind of wonder, where are they, or where are they going, what brand are they actually on? And so I'm not going to completely go through all of them today, but I'll kind of touch on a few throughout the Superstar Shakeup talk. But definitely it's pretty cool to kind of see, because, you know, it's like, for example, The Big Show. Is he on Raw or is he on SmackDown? Well, I'll tell you, he's on SmackDown. Didn't know that. I didn't know he was still on SmackDown. I knew he was on SmackDown previously, but yeah. Or the B-Team. Where's the B-Team? You know, I know Bo Dallas is on SmackDown and Curtis Axel is on SmackDown. That we know. But no, let's get into it. All right, so Raw Superstar Shakeup, in no particular order, resulted in, you know, a dozen individuals moving over. So we know AJ Styles, The Miz, Ricochet, Aleister Black, Eric and Ivar, War Machine, War Raiders, the Viking Experience, and now the Viking Raiders. It's kind of crazy. They are on Raw, and still the NXT Tag Team Champions. We have Andrade with Zelina Vega, Rey Mysterio, Jimmy and Jey Uso, Naomi, EC3, Lacey Evans, Eric Young, which looks like the Separation of Sanity, and Cedric Alexander all made their way to Raw. But there was some changes within that at the exact same time, where, you know, even though that's kind of what it looked like, where the main stables of Raw would be, you know, people like Aleister Black and Ricochet not really having, you know, they've always, every time they came to the ring, you saw the banner of NXT show up underneath them. And of course, at TakeOver, you know, you saw that great match they had with, I want to say the War Machine, but the Viking Raiders. They had a great match, kind of had their goodbye after they lost, and they didn't win the NXT Tag Team Championship. But it looks like Aleister Black has actually made his way to SmackDown, as well as Andrade and Zelina has been moved back to SmackDown, which is quite crazy. I heard a couple of things online, because Charlotte's on SmackDown, she didn't move. Andrade and Charlotte are seeing each other. Zelina Vega, once they moved to Aleister Black, for those of you who may not know, Zelina Vega and Aleister Black are actually married. So it looks like they were trying to keep the couples together. So that would, you know, hey, I'm all about it. And it's quite ironic because this past week on Something to Wrestle With, Bruce Pritchard actually talked about, you know, different superstar shakeups in the past and drafts and how that kind of is mapped out. And, you know, Conrad asked him, you know, would you take certain things like relationships into consideration? And the main one would be if they were married. That's one of the real big things that they would look at. They would try to accommodate those who are actually married. If you were just dating someone, that's kind of something else. So, but kind of makes sense. You know, Zelina and Andrade are kind of a team together. They're not an actual couple. But Aleister Black and Zelina married. Black moves over to SmackDown. Charlotte's on SmackDown. You know, Andrade moves with Zelina. Kind of goes hand in hand together. So that's kind of crazy. Now, the moves to SmackDown was some pretty good moves. Roman Reigns, we know, which truly signifies the end of the Shield, with Seth Rollins remaining on Monday Night Raw. The Intercontinental Championship with Finn Balor, moved over to SmackDown. Elias is now a member of the SmackDown Live team. Bayley, Ember Moon, Kari Sane, Lars Sullivan has made a home on SmackDown. A big jump for Buddy Murphy, no longer on 205 Live anymore, now on SmackDown. Liv Morgan, which means the end of the Riot Squad. Chad Gable, which also looks like no longer with Bobby Roode, which is now, what do we call him now? The real Bobby Roode? No, Robert Roode. Yes, the new Robert Roode. That's it. No longer with Chad Gable as a tag team. Apollo Crews making his way back to SmackDown. Mickey James, Otis and Tucker from Heavy Machinery, all made their way to SmackDown. And actually, it's funny, one thing, and I didn't see it too much online, but I was kind of wondering, seemingly, you know, Sheamus and Cesaro, The Bar, were a SmackDown team. It wasn't really announced in the shakeup by any means, but we've seen Cesaro is now on Monday Night Raw, and seemingly as a singles competitor. If you actually go on WWE's official website, Superstar tab, Sheamus is still on SmackDown. So it didn't really seem like they made much of an announcement or made much of anything of it, but it looks like The Bar's no more. That was a little shocking. I was a big fan of The Bar, but at the same time, you know, they took something that I remember when, you know, a while back when The Bar was first kind of created and Mick Foley challenged them and, you know, to kind of be a unit together. And they were, before then, they were going head to head with each other, best of two out of three, best of seven matches. And, but I'll tell you, Sheamus and Cesaro were heck of singles competitors as well. And also, I apologize, guys. Like I said at the beginning, I'm a little under the weather. As the evening keeps going, I seem to be getting a little bit more congested. A little bit of the weather change and the season change, and work's been a little crazy. So I do appreciate you getting through this with me. But yeah, so that's SmackDown overall. That was pretty intense, you know, shakeup versus other years, because I remember the previous years on the Superstar Shakeup, which I think it's like two or three years, you know, three, maybe 4 years now of this era's version of the Shakeup after WrestleMania. Usually we see just a lot of SmackDown people move to Raw, and those same groups of people, you know, so it's almost like you're putting Raw on SmackDown, SmackDown on Raw minus a few people. But I kind of like this change a little bit. When you look at SmackDown itself and you think of the types of, you know, tag team matches, you think of the types of, you know, championship matches you have, just think about it. You know, some really top talent you have. Aleister Black, you know, seemingly is also away from Ricochet because Ricochet's on Raw. So it looks like they are no longer a tag team as well. They made a great run through NXT, through the main roster leading up to their official debut, or their official mainstay on the main roster. But you have Aleister Black that can be in the main event at any given time. Andrade, looking like he's starting to get a big push after his first initial SmackDown push didn't go as well. Let's see here. You know, obviously Daniel Bryan. Now, you know, I hesitate on Daniel Bryan because apparently, you know, lots of speculation that he's been injured and that he's dealing with an injury. What that injury is hasn't been announced yet. He has not been on any SmackDown show or Raw show since WrestleMania, so who knows. My hope is that if Daniel Bryan is injured, you know, here at 613 Wrestling, you know, we send our, you know, heartfelt get well soon, and we hope it's nothing too serious. You know, if he's injured, you know, you kind of hope when it comes to Daniel Bryan that the injury is, you know, maybe he twisted his ankle, you know, or maybe he, you know, I don't know, blew out his shoulder or something. You just hope it has nothing to do with that concussion, like he's had in the past. But you do have, you know, he is still on SmackDown, so you do have Daniel Bryan, Elias, you know, Finn Balor, Jeff Hardy is apparently also injured, but as a SmackDown Tag Team Champion with his brother Matt Hardy. But once again, Jeff Hardy, people love him. You can throw him up there at any given time. Kevin Owens, Kofi Kingston, the world champ, Lars Sullivan, I'm sure will find his way in that, you know, upper echelon very soon. Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, you know, like Rusev, you got so many, like obviously Sheamus, Nakamura, who else we got here? And ironically enough, it shows Triple H being a SmackDown person, and Stephanie McMahon. I wonder if they're also showing up on the Raw side, but anyways. But no, you got so many different possibilities for SmackDown in regards to, you know, Intercontinental Championship matches, World Championship matches, or just building a storyline just because. Kind of like what they're doing with Roman Reigns and Elias right now. I do like the fact that Roman Reigns has been back. He's been consistent. WrestleMania had his very first singles match back against Drew McIntyre. But at the same time, I feel a lot of people thought that, oh, he's back, they're just going to throw him right back into the main event. And that's where we were going to see Roman Reigns. You know, and people would have not, you know, they cheer him now, but that would have been a really good way to boo him. But no, they're finding, you know, Steady Eddie in the middle, you know, really, really good rivalries for him, like the one with Drew McIntyre, now the one with Elias, and seemingly Shane McMahon as well. You know, with the Superstar Shakeup, the biggest thing that excites me is, and once again, just like I talk about, you know, storylines, storytelling, matches, you know, who went over who won, who lost, just like everything else, guys. With the superstar shakeup, sure, I can sit here for hours and talk about who could have, should have, would have moved where. You know, like the AJ Styles, that's a big debate. And I've seen a lot of people online saying, finally, after the last few, you know, since AJ Styles has been in WWE and shakeups have existed, he's always been on SmackDown. You know, SmackDown was the house that AJ Styles built. But to see him on Raw, it's kind of like, cool. You kind of saw it coming, but like, cool, he's here now. Different rivalries. You can see Seth Rollins versus AJ Styles, and we are going to see Seth Rollins versus AJ Styles, but and so many different matchups you can see for AJ Styles. But then you have a whole, you know, a lot of other people over here saying, well, I liked that SmackDown was his home. That sucks. And the thing is that no one's wrong. No one's right. It's not about being right or wrong. Wrestling is all about a feeling of preference, what you want to see. You know, so I'm not really going to get so much into, you know, should have they broken these people up? You know, should have The Miz stayed on SmackDown? You know, now that he's on Raw and you have AJ Styles and Seth Rollins and all these other people here, is he going to get a chance to shine? And, you know, so I just say my challenge to you guys, the superstar shakeup has come and gone. Here are your new rosters. Let's have fun with them. You know, let's enjoy and see these new storylines and these new, you know, matchups that we get to see that we maybe have never gotten to see before, which is pretty cool. I'm actually going to quickly go over to the Raw tab here. I only looked at SmackDown. Let's see here. Oh, that's right. Akam Razar. You know, we haven't seen those guys in quite a little bit. Braun Strowman. Yeah, Cesaro on Raw. Yeah, The Revival. David Otunga. Eric Young. In this photo, he has his beard, but doesn't have his beard anymore. Shaved everything. Did he shave his eyebrows? I can't remember, but he shaved everything. He's a baby face. True to heart right now. EC3. Dolph Ziggler showing as a Raw. Fandango showing on Raw. Heath Slater, Jason Jordan showing on Raw, interesting. Kurt Angle still showing on Raw here, let's see. Lacey Evans, Mojo Rawley. What do you guys think of the whole Mojo Rawley, you know, those promos where he was kind of standing in front of a mirror week over week and just kind of not hyping himself up, but almost trying to like figure himself out and where he needs to be. And I might have missed a recent one, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but the last one was like when he was like, there he is, you know, but his eye was kind of like within like this blue shattered piece. You know, Mojo Rawley, I think the guy's a heck of a talent. You know, good look, good body of work, big guy, strong guy. I think he just needs to find the right character, and leaving him off of TV this whole time is good, because if you don't have something for someone, just leave him be. Nikki Bella still shows as a Raw competitor. No Way Jose with that god-awful green hair. I wonder if he chose that or if they told him to do that. But hey, you know, Mazel Tov, if you like it, cool. Absolutely. Robert Roode, Rhino is on Raw. Sami Zayn, Sarah Logan, Samoa Joe. Oh, and that was one you didn't see on the Superstar Shakeup. But once when you kind of assumed that apparently Samoa Joe wasn't able to attend the event, that he was sick, what I read. But you kind of knew once when, you know, Samoa Joe on SmackDown, Finn Balor's on SmackDown, would SmackDown have the United States Championship, the Intercontinental Championship, you know, a Tag Team Championship, the World Championship, a Women's Championship, and then it would leave Raw with almost nothing. We kind of assumed that we would see Samoa Joe, and we did this past week in that triple threat with AJ Styles and Rey Mysterio. So good to see Samoa Joe on Raw. Let's see, who else? Tedeson, yeah, The Miz. I'm actually a huge fan of The Miz moving to Raw. I'm a huge fan of, actually, what I'm not a huge fan of is how The Miz didn't win his match this past week on Raw to face AJ Styles for the number one contender later on in the night. That was a little weird. I would have really liked to have seen him beat, you know, or overcome some way Corbin and Drew. But we'll talk about that in a little bit with the highs and lows. Yeah, Zack Ryder. Oh, there we go. Yeah, Stephanie and Triple H show on the Raw roster as well. So, okay. So it looks like they're all just kind of on both places. But anyways, okay. Enough of listening to me, Bravs. So I just say, you know, it's a new era. It absolutely is a new era. And I would say, you know, with, you know, I've been seeing so many people on Twitter, so many people on YouTube in the comments, just absolutely destroying the WWE. You know, AEW's coming, you know, when they come and they start doing their TV show and their events, you know, WWE is done. You got to have patience, guys, you know. And don't get me wrong, you're allowed to like what you like and not like what you don't like, for sure. Not saying don't express it. But I always just say, I don't feel that some fans, especially the newer day fans, if you've been a fan, you know, for a long time, like I have for over, you know, just about 30 years plus, you know, you got to allow storylines, talent, and everything. You got to give them the benefit of the doubt sometimes. Let's see where it goes. You know, that's what I always say is, even though I might not like a segment or something, maybe the payoff will be good. And we've seen that. You know, it's, you look at the whole Kofi Kingston WrestleMania thing. Spent 12 weeks of Vince McMahon playing the heel authority figure, which he said no more heel authority figures, you know, when they were switching things up, and he you know, really turned into almost like a racial thing. Well, that's what people were kind of thinking, and, you know, kind of screwing Kofi every time they had the opportunity to. And but then, you know, look at us now. We're happy that Kofi Kingston is the world champion. We're not remembering that buildup. The payoff was what gave it to us. Even now, everyone, including myself, was talking about, you know, how can they do this? You know, you're suspending Becky, or, you know, you're adding Charlotte to the match. You know, you're reinstating Becky, you're suspending her again, and then she has to fight to get into the match, and then she gets into the match very easily. Ronda puts her in there, and then Charlotte wins the SmackDown Championship, and now it's winner takes all, and all we wanted was Becky and Ronda one-on-one, but we're not talking about that anymore. We're talking about Becky two belts. So I think you know where I'm going with this, guys. It's give WWE a chance. And I'm always, no matter what, I'm always going to be a WWE fan. And if you're a true wrestling fan like I am, I'm a big fan of, and a big believer in time. Take your time. Let's see where things are going. Give it a chance to build. And remember, everyone's talking about how they love AEW. AEW is essentially, and don't get me wrong, I'm excited for AEW, but AEW is nothing yet. AEW has never had a show. When All In happened, like, that wasn't under AEW. That was just All In. That doesn't count. It's, you know, we know of a roster. We know a show coming up. Double or Nothing, you know, Fight for the Fallen coming. There's some shows coming up and more to come, and we're going to hear more about TV deals, and I'm sure they're going to do something consistent. They have the Being the Elite YouTube channel, which is great. If you've never watched it, I definitely suggest it. It's absolutely awesome. But at the same time, people are putting so much stock into something that they've never seen. You know, what are you going to do when they produce something and you don't like it? Where are you going to go? You're going to go back to WWE. So, and let's not forget, WWE has been the longest reigning episodic live television show week after week. That's hard. I can only imagine that's hard. Imagine every single week, more than one day, but like multiple times a month, including pay-per-views, you know, live events, Raw, SmackDown, you know, especially now that SmackDown's live and everything else, and you have to create something week over week. They don't get a season off to write all of this stuff, so you kind of got to give them time. I know I'm ranting now, guys, and I apologize. I guess over this last week and this last weekend, I've been reading a lot of things online and looking at Superstar Shakeup results and different things about injuries and returns and people wanting to leave WWE, and it's just been a lot, and everyone's just pointing the finger at WWE, and all I know is that the things that I'm reading about WWE wanting to enforce change in the locker room and trying to do the right things for the talent, my hope is good things to come for WWE. All right, so let's kind of jump into the highs and lows now. Where's my water? Let me get a little water here. There we go. All right, so, of course, the highs and lows are kind of based over the last 2 weeks a little bit. So, and usually I try to pick, you know, two, maybe three max of each idle hello, and I have several for each, and I'm just going to kind of go through them. So let's talk about the highs first. So number one, in no particular order, The Shield's last match at the WWE house show. If you didn't see it this past Sunday at a live event, the WWE Network aired a live event, to of which the biggest part, I guess the marquee match, was Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, and Seth Rollins as The Shield having their last match together before Dean Ambrose goes off and does his own thing. I loved it. Not only was it a great match, but, you know, Dean got to cut a great promo talking about him and his brothers, talking about what it takes to, you know, to kind of break through the glass ceiling and do what you want to do on your terms, and how important it is to do what you want to do, and kind of echoing through his movement and his change and how he's trying to make sure that, you know, like, if he's leaving on his terms, know that you should be doing that too. Not saying leave, but you know what I mean. And I thought it was beautiful, because the last time we thought we were going to see Dean Ambrose on Raw, he was going to have his farewell match against Bobby Lashley, didn't go his way, got thrown through a table, just got beaten up, and that's it. So it was great to see that the true last moment was The Shield together, you know, the Brotherhood was there, and a great, great, great match. And the thing that I love about The Shield too, and The Shield is the type of faction where you love them or you hate them. There's no in the middle. The thing that I love about it is individually, each three of those guys can main event, and they have. They've all been champions, but when they're a team, there's no leader. You know what I mean? There's no like, oh, there's Roman Reigns, that's the leader, because when they tell that story, when the Shield is together, it's always all for one and one for all. You know, everyone gets 33.33% of the pie. And when it comes to the aggression, getting over, it's not just one person getting the hot tag and, you know, taking it home. It's really everyone's in it for themselves, and they always win together as a group. So to see that one last time, I've always been very skeptical, thinking that Dean Ambrose, this whole thing of him leaving is a work, because I just couldn't actually believe that someone would no longer want to be a part of a company, and WWE would use it in a storyline and announce it and allow him to continue to be on live television. But, you know, clearly this is it. And, you know, my hope is that I'm still maybe right. I'm probably wrong, but my hope is maybe I'm right in some way, shape, or form, and we see him and this is a work. Apparently the word is that he's not leaving to go to another wrestling organization. Apparently he's taking time off. He's been wrestling for so long, he finally wants to take that time, you know, to be a husband, to do the things that he wants to do. But best of luck with Dean Ambrose. You know, if this is true and you are officially gone, we hope you come back one day. We hope to see you. If you do wrestle, not in WWE, we know it's going to be great. You know it's going to be big, because to leave on his own terms at the top of the game like he did, it's going to be huge. So whether it's AEW or some other independent wrestling company, who knows? But best of luck, Dean Ambrose. Next up, the fact that we're actually going to get an AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins Universal title match. That's a huge high for me. Big, huge fan of these two. If you follow Xavier Woods' Up, Up, Down, Down YouTube channel, you see these guys have a rivalry on its own when it comes to video games. I don't think we've ever really seen Seth Rollins versus AJ Styles, and I'm very excited, because that match at Money in the Bank is going to be, pun intended, money. Like, Seth Rollins and AJ Styles are top 10 favorite superstars of today, and, you know, to know that they're going to go against each other, and AJ Styles, you know, gets that opportunity to get up the top, and I hope Seth retains and holds that title for a long time, and to defeat defeat AJ Styles, it's going to rise Seth Rollins even more than he already is. And I don't know, I think this just does nothing but good for both of these guys, and I'm super excited to see it. Next up, Kushida in his NXT debut. If you haven't watched it, and I'm not going to go so much into it here now, but all I'm going to say is, if you've never watched New Japan Pro Wrestling, check them out. Number one, it's a great, very long event, but great, great, great event. And Kushida, I'm not even going to talk about it here. All I'm going to say is YouTube, or do whatever, Google search, and find some of his matches because he's awesome. He's really, really great, and really great to see him in NXT. A high for me is also Cesaro's single run. I've always been a huge Cesaro fan. To see him on, you know, Raw defeat Cedric Alexander, Cesaro, to me, if he didn't get into the tag team with Sheamus and created the bar for the last, you know, year or two, I always felt that Cesaro one day could have been, you know, atop of the WWE as a WWE champion. He's strong. He just oozes, you know, machismo, charisma. And I know that's funny because you heard Vince McMahon say years ago on the Stone Cold podcast that we love Cesaro. We like Cesaro. He just doesn't have the it factor and he's not connecting with the crowd. I think creating the bar and seeing Cesaro's, you know, a little bit more of his personality, you know, how hardcore he can be, his humorous side, how silly he can be, like the different types of faces and hats he can wear. And you don't wear a face, but you know what I mean. It's a term, it's a phrase. I hope. But you know, to see Cesaro back as a singles, I really hope that Sheamus is okay. I'm happy to see Cesaro as a single superstar, and I think he's going to add great competition to either the, you know, Intercontinental world title in between pitcher type. I really hope so, at the very least. I hope they don't just kind of bury him in the middle and just have him kind of beat guys occasionally and get beaten. That would make me really bad. Let me get some more water here. Throat's drying up. Next up on the high, Aleister Black promo this past week. We don't hear Aleister Black talk a lot, ever. So to kind of see him just kind of sitting on a chair in a dark room, it was great to see him talk because it allowed you to kind of, he brought you in to learn a little bit more about who he is, his personality, his mindset, the dark side. And it was short and sweet. It wasn't long, but it was really just talking about what he wants to do and what he's capable of doing. And I thought that was amazing because we don't ever get to hear Aleister Black talk. And to see how much everyone loves him and we want to see him as a competitor and he doesn't talk. And nor does he have a mouthpiece. He doesn't have a Paul Heyman speaking for him. So to kind of see him be able to kind of get out there more, the best part about superstars that we love but can't get over is when we are able to relate to them a little bit. And, you know, when we're able to kind of learn a little bit more about what are you thinking? Like, what do you like? What do you not like? Like, what kind of mood are you in? Are you happy? Are you mad? Are you upset? Are you worried? You know, when we kind of, when the superstars let us in that way, it really helps us, you know, kind of come in with them. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of pulls us in too because we become more invested in the character and in the talent. So I thought that was great. And plain and simple, loved it. Last high of the week, and I hope it was yours, Bray Wyatt. He's back. But a little different. The Firefly Funhouse show featuring Bray Wyatt. Almost his little, you know, for the last couple of weeks, we've been seeing, you know, the dinosaur pop out of the box with the evil laugh, the doll, you know, like that creepy doll. Oh my goodness, that creeped me out. And we kind of all thought it was going to be Bray Wyatt, but no one thought it was going to be Bray Wyatt playing the role of a Mr. Rogers, you know what I mean? Kind of like, you know, I was bad at one time and, you know, like, I don't want to be that guy anymore. And, you know, but I love it. I love it because you almost, I don't want to say it's predictable, but it's not overly predictable in the sense of, like, I hope he continues to do this. And it's almost, you can almost look at it and go, Bray's lost it. He's absolutely mad. Like, he thinks he's this good guy and he's trying to put on the show, but he's gonna snap. You know, the fact that he's trying to be like, hey kids, how's it going? Come on in, trust me, I'm a good guy. But then he takes a chainsaw and maniacally laughs and cuts his old cardboard cutout of himself in half. And oh my God. It was absolutely nuts. The only thing that could have made that better is on SmackDown, they played the exact same skit. the exact same promo. I would have loved to have seen SmackDown. You saw like the second episode of it, you know, like the second version, and so to kind of see it again was kind of like, yeah, we saw that. And you know, the only time I want to see a rerun is if I go online to YouTube and, you know, watch it again. I don't want it to just that one segment to be played over and over again. So, but nonetheless, it makes me excited to, you know, Raw next week to, you know, or Raw and SmackDown next week to kind of see what's the next episode of the Firefly Funhouse. That's crazy. But it's good to see Bray back, because Bray Wyatt is the perfect example of someone that, you know, WWE just didn't find the timing for, you know, coming in as the Wyatt family. I remember that promo, you know, for weeks and months. It was the individual promos between, you know, like Harper Rowan, you know, rocking in the chair, and, you know, Bray Wyatt kind of talking. And then finally, and you didn't know when they were going to debut, then Kane was in the ring, and all of a sudden the promo came again, and in the trees and the darkness. And but all of a sudden they're like, it's usually like, you know, we're coming. And then finally, you know, blew out his lantern, we're here. And then the music hit, the place erupted. And that was a huge, I remember that was, you know, a really cool moment for me, because I was following the Wyatt family a bit on NXT, and to kind of see them come into the main roster, I was like, that's such a big deal for me. And so to kind of see Bray go through becoming a champion, but not being utilized properly, being almost one of the best promo men in the game, you know, the closest thing to The Undertaker that you could have been. I just feel that it was very unfortunate that Bray Wyatt lost so many opportunities, losing my voice here, he lost so many opportunities to really break through. And whether that's WWE, whether that's timing, who knows. But I hope now, he's been away for a while, quite a while, almost a year. I think the last time he came back, he kind of did a little stint at Starrcade when it was on the WWE Network show. But since then, we haven't really heard much of anything of Bray Wyatt. So he's back, and I'm happy. That's really cool. Really, really cool. And once again, if you haven't checked it out, YouTube, WWE, check her out. So let's quickly go over the lows of the week. So there wasn't too many lows. And once again, like I always say, guys, when I say lows of the week, it's not necessarily something I didn't like. It's also something that may be unfortunate. And for example, number one, Big E injured. That really sucks. Apparently, I think it was a groin injury. Who knows how long he's going to be out, but that really, really sucks. Because, man, the New Day is hot right now, and they are on fire. And even though they, you know, they were trying to kind of play with a little bit of, you know, fun with the whole Kevin Owens being the Big O, and, you know, like kind of like take over for Big E while Big E's trying to, you know, rehab and get back. And but it just sucks, because through all of the work they've put in, Xavier and Big E having Kofi's back and fighting to get Kofi that opportunity, and then Kofi's the world champion. And you know, if anything, it would have been beautiful to see Xavier and Big E maybe win the tag team championships on SmackDown, and then all of a sudden the New Day's in the ring as tag team champions and WWE champion. Like, that would have been monumental to see that the New Day is like on top of the mountain more than you can ever be. So it sucks, but Big E, get well soon, buddy. Really, 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 really hope to see him back soon, and hopefully his injury doesn't take him out for a long time. Next low, Luke Harper. So this one, I gotta read a little bit more on. I'm actually gonna try to Luke Harper. Sorry, guys. News. So if you haven't heard yet, the other week Luke Harper put out a tweet indicating that to everyone that he has asked WWE for his release. While Luke Harper and Rowan were the Bludgeon Brothers, you know, up until back WrestleMania and before of last year, Harper got injured and he was away for a good bit of time. Apparently, since January, February of this year, he's been cleared to wrestle, and just WWE hasn't used him. His big time to shine was he was at WWE Access, where he had a match. He was also at WrestleMania in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. having his little spot there with Mustafa Ali, where Braun Strowman kind of kicked him in the chest and threw him out and almost impaled Mustafa Ali, or Ali. No, Mustafa Ali. We're going to continue to call him Mustafa Ali. But apparently, he's just been unhappy, you know, and if he feels he can do so much for the business, and Luke Harper, I'm a huge Luke Harper fan. He's a hell of a big man. He's a hell of a talent. And it's great to see him take his career in his own hands to kind of say, you know what, if you don't have anything for me, then let me go. You know, if you can't do something with me, then I shouldn't be here. You know, I'm big, I'm talented, I'm strong, I'm tough. I got a great history in the WWE and a great track record. And if you have nothing for me, let me go. And he did it in such a respectful way when he sent out that tweet. It was good to see someone that if he's unhappy with his status of the company, he's not just bashing the company, because that's not the right way to go. But, and I don't know if it's true or not, but apparently WWE is not releasing him. And apparently, he is, quote-unquote, potentially has extended his contract. How long? Who knows? But I don't know. I'm really interested. Have you guys heard any news about it that I haven't heard? Please tweet me at 613 Wrestling. You know, I'm unsure of what exactly is going on now, but I say WWE, if you have nothing for the man, don't hold on to him. Let him go. Let him do his thing. Let him go away and... You know, as JR says, learn a new hold and go from there. All right, next up on the lows. All right, so far we have Big E, Luke Harper. Here's another one. The Iconics. So the Iconics isn't the low. It's how the Iconics have been booked this last just short couple of weeks. I don't get it. You know, WWE... you know, comes back out with their third version of the Women's Tag Team Championships. You have Bayley and Sasha, you know, as your first champions, and then they lose, whether it's in singles matches or as teams, more than they really win. And you're doing the same with the Iconics. Like, don't get me wrong, no offense to Naomi or Kairi Sane, but this past week, you know, and the week before the Iconics lost a tag team match, and this past week, Kairi Sane defeated Peyton Royce in a one-on-one match, and Naomi defeated Billie Kay in a one-on-one match. I just don't know what they're doing right now, and how WWE is, once again, like, maybe there's something down the road, or they're building the something, but they've got to start booking their women's tag team division a little bit stronger. Number one, define the division a bit more. Don't just throw people together, but at the same time, like, don't be afraid, whether it's a babyface or a heel team, like, just strengthen the team. Get behind the team. I still think that Bayley and Sasha Banks should still be your champions at this point. They should be running through everyone, and while they're running through everyone, because they're two amazing top individual talents, while Bayley and Sasha are running through everyone, you build, you know, you build. It's like with the men. You have a tag team champion, and then you have everyone else. And while you determine a number one contender, until you determine who's the next number one contender for the titles after that, everyone else should be going at it. Everyone else should be pawing and trying to shine and show. And right now, the Iconics, whether they're, if they want to be heels, then they should be finding ways to win, no matter what. Because the deadliest heel and the best heel is a heel that wins all the time, or finds ways to win all the time. I don't get it. So I just hope to see maybe the Iconics can be booked a little bit better moving forward. And I don't know, just, I guess we'll see. The women's division, tag team division, hasn't really been here that long, but I guess time will tell. But let's hope we see something better out of it. Becky versus Charlotte. That's another one of my lows. We've seen it. We saw that for several months in 2018, leading all the way up to WrestleMania. You know, now, seemingly based off this past week on SmackDown, it does look like they are having Becky do double duty, where if she's going to be, you know, Becky Two Belts, when she's on Raw and SmackDown, when she's on Raw, she's having her own feuds with the Raw females, and when she's on SmackDown, she's having, you know, it looks like Lacey Evans is the Raw opponent, sometimes Natalya, sometimes Dana Brooke. I'll tell you, God bless her soul, Dana Brooke, but it just feels like every time she has a promo, which has been a lot lately, it's always the same. You know, I might not be the best, but darn it, I'm going to try. And, you know, you can break me, but you can't break my heart, and, you know, whatever. And she probably said none of that, but you know what I mean. And then she just gets demolished every time. I think Dana Brooke's a hell of a talent. I think she's looked so much better over this last year that I would love to see Dana Brooke get a little bit more of a push. So you gotta, WWE has to take her more seriously for us as fans to take her more seriously. But no, just going back to Becky and Charlotte, we just saw that. And if anything, with the whole Lacey Evans thing, I'll tell you, watching Lacey Evans for, you know, 3-4 months do nothing but walk to the ring and wave, and now there's no more walking and waving. Now it's coming down and punching, and it's being aggressive. I kind of like this Lacey Evans that we're seeing. It's quite crazy. She's really good in the ring, and it's almost like a perfect example of why does she keep running walking down to the wing and walking down to the ring and waving. Say that 5 times fast. Keeps, you know, walking down to the ring and waving, and but now it's kind of like the payoff was we get to see how aggressive she is, because we're not used to seeing her aggressive. We're used to seeing her in little sundresses, her little hat, and her little scarf and handkerchief, and just kind of waving to the boys and girls, and, you know, that's it. And now you're seeing her, like, in high heels kick some serious ass. So I think it's really cool, but I don't think Charlotte being back in the title picture is cool. I think this whole build-up to WrestleMania, Ronda is going to be, you know, out for who knows how long, if not ever. But Charlotte needs to go do something else while Becky kind of thrives in her monumental moment where she winner took all, and she took all. Now, to visit what we just built for several months just doesn't make any sense. So I have no interest in seeing Charlotte versus Becky. Don't get me wrong, they're going to have a great match, and it's going to be great, but I'm just not interested in seeing it, if you know what I mean. All right, last low, Baron Corbin. I feel that Baron Corbin is usually on my low list quite a bit. The reason why he's on the low list, not only because, well, it's Baron Corbin, but this past week, to determine the number one contender for Seth Rollins' Universal Championship, you had 2 triple threat matches. You had Rey Mysterio versus Samoa Joe versus AJ Styles, which, I'll tell you, was a hell of a match. You know, that was a great, great match. And AJ Styles won, so we knew AJ Styles was going to go later on in the night and take on the winner in the next triple threat match, which was Drew McIntyre, Baron Corbin, and The Miz. Baron Corbin won. You know, he found a way to win. But, like, come on. He can't keep being the person that's in everyone's way. I don't get it. Especially when you have The Miz and Drew McIntyre. I thought Drew McIntyre would have won, and you would have saw AJ Styles versus Drew McIntyre for the number one contendership match. Imagine that. And don't get me wrong, that's okay that didn't happen, because I think a big problem in WWE, not a problem, but something that has ruined a lot of things, is you've been seeing marquee matches that could be WrestleMania worthy are regular matches on Raw. Like, for example, Drew McIntyre versus AJ Styles. That should be a pay-per-view match. Like, people should be paying money to see that match. You know, and over the last quite a few years, it's always been top talent versus top talent for free television. So I'm kind of happy that didn't happen, but I kind of hope The Miz would win. You know, I thought Drew, I hope The Miz. You know, because I was like, The Miz, finally, yes, he's going to find his way, you know, to start getting into the world title picture. Yes, this is great. This is awesome. You know, last week we saw him attack Shane, you know, when he debuted on Raw, and now it's kind of Shane's on SmackDown helping Elias with Roman, and I don't get it anymore. What's going on with The Miz and Shane? Duh! Just kind of canceling, cutting things out. But Corbin found his way to win, and of course, I'm so happy that AJ Styles won, and we're going to see AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins. But for me, Baron Corbin, you know, I liked him in NXT. I liked it when he came to the main roster, when he debuted on the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal years ago at WrestleMania. But since he's had this corporate suit-wearing, you know, it's been the same thing. And I just don't get me wrong. Like, I hate it. And that means he's doing his job because he's a heel, a really, really good heel, but, you know, a heel nonetheless. But I think my problem is that I don't want to see him in the title picture. I don't want to see him versus all of this top talent going for the world title, especially on a show where you have, you know, Joe, Ray, AJ, Miz, Drew, Bobby, you know, the list goes on and on and on and on. From Monday Night Raw, it's Cesaro and everyone else, and Braun Strowman. I could just keep going on forever, but like, I don't know. I just feel that at this point, Baron Corbin, I would love to see him go away for a while and kind of take on a new persona a little bit. You know, what we saw the biker, you know, punk rock guy when he came with the long hair, the jean jacket, you know, his motorcycle t-shirts. And now we're seeing him in suits and a shaved head and kind of being like the corporate shill. I don't know. I just don't get it. I think his gimmick is maybe drawn out and it's kind of run its course, I think. So I don't know. Just Baron Corbin, you're clearly doing your job because I don't like you and you're a heel. And that's kind of the point. And I'm venting about you and I'm talking about you, so clearly you win. So, but I would like to see something different from Baron Corbin. I don't think he would ever play a good babyface. He's always going to play a great heel, but I kind of think I think we need a third version of Baron Corbin at this point. Oh, water. But yeah, so, you know, that's kind of my highs and lows for the week, guys. Once again, 613 Wrestling. Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, please let me know. What was your highs and what was your lows of the week? What are you looking forward to? Is there any matchups? Actually, this is a great question I want to ask you guys is, are there any matchups that you guys are excited to potentially see? You know, maybe Randy Orton versus Roman Reigns on SmackDown. You know, or is there some talent that you wish or you hope or wish get a bigger push? For example, EC3. You know, EC3 hasn't really done much of anything at all on the main roster. You know, the last time we saw him was he got decimated by Braun Strowman in the ring. Eric Young, you know, was a machine in NXT with Sanity. Now, you know, all of Sanity is losing on a 3-on-1 match versus The Miz. Like, I guess there's some things that I'm unsure of. Where are we going with certain talent? But at the same time, I'm always and always willing to kind of wait it out and see what happens, allow the WWE time to kind of, you know, paint that picture, tell that story, you know, find the right matchups, find the right magic, and take us for a ride. But no, outside of that, guys, so that's kind of the superstar shakeup, my highs and lows of the week. One thing I want to cap off the week on is the F5 of the week, which is the time of the week where we look over the top 5 superstars of the week. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go from number 5 up to number 1. Small little explanation on why they are in the F5. This F5 is actually quite different than usual F5s, maybe with one or two names with an exception. But number 5, I'll tell you, Sami Zayn is my number 5. I said it, Sami Zayn. With very little physical competition, he's done. Sami Zayn has done an amazing, amazing, amazing job at playing the heel. Because what they're doing is he's verbally building up being a heel for a payoff down the road. You know, it's especially this last week, you know, talking about how he would rather be anywhere else but here, how WWE is kind of like the corrupt, you know, part of everything. You know, he thought he would miss this and he doesn't. And, you know, even in Montreal, he's from Montreal. Even in Montreal, he finds a way to make him boom. But no, I think it's great. It's great to see Sami Zayn back. It's great to see, you know, it's great to see him back. But I think I'm more curious to see what's the feud going to be. Because right now it's Sami Zayn solo. You know, it's Sami Zayn versus the world. But where are we going to see who's going to be the person to come down? And because, you know, it's going to happen at some point, who's going to be the person to come down and kind of be like, hey, shut up. I'm tired of hearing you run your mouth. I'm tired of hearing you, you know, some big baby face is going to come and trying to shut his trap. Who's that going to be? I have no idea. But I'm loving the fact that Sami Zayn's back. I'm loving the fact that he's killing it on the mic. And he's doing exactly what he does very, very well. And Sami's actually the exception to the rule. You know, usually it's kind of, you say, you know, a Baron Corbin plays a much better heel than he ever would a babyface. But Sami Zayn plays a great both. He's great at making you hate him, but in a snap of a finger, he can, you know, get everyone behind him and be a babyface all over again. Because he's someone that you love to hate, but he's also someone that you love to love. So, good on you, Sami Zayn. Number four, Viking Raiders. Or is it War Machine? That should actually be a t-shirt. Remember how it was like, what was it? Bucks of Jericho, or is it Y2 Jackson? If you remember the t-shirt that the Young Bucks and Chris Jericho had, I almost feel like it should be like War Machine, or is it War Raiders, or is it the Viking Experience, or is it Viking Raiders? Which one is it? With a big question mark in the middle. But no, regardless of the name, let's not get caught up in a name. What is a name? Good on you if you got that reference. But no, but you know what? They are here. They are dominant. They are doing great. The hardest part sometimes with tag teams coming from NXT to the main roster is tag teams don't really have a great track record. You know, you look at some of the great, great, great tag teams. The Usos, not from NXT. The New Day. You know, Xavier and Big E were from NXT, but the New Day itself was not from NXT. The Bar, you know, Cesaro from NXT, but, like, The Bar wasn't from NXT. You know where I'm going with that. But you look at The Revival, you know, Jason Jordan, Chad Gable, you know, and the list goes on and on. So I'm excited to see that, you know, even with Ricochet and Aleister Black, it worked and did great, but they never, you know, won the titles. Or made it big long term. They probably could have long term, but they did split them up. But the Viking Raiders, you know, those are two big guys that, you know, that fly like cruiserweights. It's absolutely insane. I've been watching the Viking Raiders since New Japan and Ring of Honor for many years. And I always said to myself, imagine these guys were in the WWE. And it's crazy to think we're April 2019, and I'm watching War Machine in the WWE on the main roster. Like, that's so crazy, and it's so cool. I find them so entertaining and so good in the ring. I just really hope they bring that NXT-type tag team style to the main roster, and I just hope their momentum continues to rise. You know, I really hope they don't turn into, you know, it's like Heavy Machinery. Tucker and Otis just, like, they're still doing well, and they haven't done bad yet, but since being on the main roster, it's kind of been steady Eddie, right? They've been more of a gimmick and a comedic, which is not bad. It's not a bad thing to be a comedy, but, you know, they've been more of a gimmick and a comedy spot than their in-ring work. And even then, their in-ring work is really, you know, the caterpillar and just kind of, you know, the strutting and dancing and just little jiggles and wiggles. But the Viking Raiders are, they mean business, so love the fact that they're here. I don't care what they're called. You guys shouldn't care what they're called either. They're here. Let's see them go. Number three on the F5 of the week, Cesaro. I love the fact that, you know, Cesaro's a singles competitor again, seemingly, with Sheamus remaining on SmackDown. He had a great match with Cedric Alexander, and Cesaro won that match. But not just about the fact that he had the match and that he won the match, but it was like, I'm just so happy to see him back in a singles. I remember years ago, you saw Cesaro versus John Cena on Monday Night Raw. And if you haven't seen those matches, there's a couple of them. And they were fantastic. You know, Cesaro looked like $1 million and, you know, had the whole crowd behind him. And John Cena really had it taken to him, which usually big match John finds a way to decimate everyone. But Cesaro really, even though John won, you know, Cesaro took him to the limits. And I love how Cesaro does that every single time in every match, whether it's a tag team, singles. I don't know. I'm rambling on Cesaro now. I love the guy. The Swiss Superman is back in singles, and I'm so happy. I would really, really hope to see him. You know, it's kind of a shame that he's on Raw and the Intercontinental Championship is on SmackDown, because I would have loved to see Cesaro as an Intercontinental Champion. I think that'd be so great. Number two on the F5 of the week, Kofi Kingston. You know, my worry, not because I thought it would have been, it's just you never know. My worry was that, you know, we had this great build-up coming up to WrestleMania, and Kofi Kingston won the WWE Championship against Daniel Bryan in a beautiful, amazing story, an amazing match, for then it kind of all to fall to the wayside. You know what I mean? Like, it almost, like, I was like, what if, like, the next night he loses the title? You know, or like the next week, couple of weeks or whatever. But seemingly they're building him into a great storyline already, which is something new and different. And who knows, if Daniel Bryan wasn't injured, would have Daniel Bryan won his rematch, or would have it continued to build in that sense with Daniel Bryan? Who knows? But Kofi's here, and I'm going to stop talking about Kofi while continuing talking about Kofi, because the number one of the F5 of the week is Kevin Frickin' Owens. KO's back. He came back before WrestleMania. He kind of played more of the Kevin Owens show role than anything bigger, other than, you know, Vince McMahon saying, you know, Kofi, you're out, and Daniel Bryant, Kevin Owens is in, and you had Kevin Owens versus Daniel Bryant at the pay-per-view. But now that, like, not only is Kevin Owens back, but, you know, beautiful mic work, beautiful in-ring work. Like, he looks refreshed. He looks stronger than ever. He looks crisper than ever. This whole New Day thing, let's be honest, guys, we kind of saw that coming. Like, we didn't actually think Kevin Owens was going to be a member of the New Day. But we kind of thought, well, listen, wait, hold on. You know, like, it's kind of fun. You know what I mean? Like, eating the pancakes and, you know, the New Day, even though with 99% of the population can do that silly stuff, and everyone would be like, lame, that's so dumb, but it's because it's a New Day, they make it work. But then you kind of saw that coming. The big question was, it was a matter of when would it happen? When will Kevin Owens, you know, stab his New Day members in the back and go after Kofi Kingston? It happened this past week on SmackDown. I love it because it's a new, fresh rivalry. Even though they kind of had some connection where, you know, Kofi has rights to be mad because Kevin Owens, even though it's not Kevin Owens' fault, Vince McMahon made that decision, but Kofi can kind of be like, hey, listen, you know, like, you were they tried to put you over me, and it didn't work. And then Kevin can be upset going, yeah, they chose me to replace you, you know, so I should be the one, I should have been the one that WrestleMania in a marquee match against Daniel Bryan for the title. I should be the WWE champion right now. There's so many great ways you can take this rivalry. And plus, it's exciting because, yes, this all happened, you know, happenstance. And once again, it's another thing that I've been seeing online where people going, you know, Kofi didn't deserve it. This all happened because of an injury. Okay. You know, and even then, a lot of people are kind of bashing WWE, going, WWE didn't come up with this idea. It's because Ali got hurt. Yes, but guys, girls, ladies, gentlemen, when Ali got hurt, they chose Kofi Kingston. Maybe he wasn't the original choice, that you got that right, but they looked over to the left, they looked over to the right, they saw Kofi, and they went, you know what, you're going to the Gauntlets match tonight, and you're almost going all the way, and you're going to lose to AJ Styles. For then, all of a sudden, this big build-up, this big story, you know, this big challenge in front of him trying to get to the world title match. And the big question, yeah, is, and some people are still, you know, holding on to it, is what would have we got at WrestleMania if Ali never got injured? Would have it been Ali? I think a lot of people assume it would be, but I don't know. Would have they built Ali that quick that just a couple of weeks on SmackDown, they were going to have him win the WWE Championship against Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania? Maybe. I think so many people assume and think that's what was going to happen. But once again, guys, coulda, woulda, shoulda, whatever. This door closed for Ali, and now he's back, and now he's, you know, they're building him up in the picture a little bit more, and sorta, kinda. But no, you know, you saw Kofi and Ali have that great, you know, interaction online, talking about the injury and the opportunities, and they were very happy for one another and very appreciative of one another. And guys, once again, coulda, woulda, shoulda, just where are we now? We are in a world where Kofi frickin' Kingston is the WWE champion of the world. You know, no one hates Kofi Kingston. We've all loved Kofi Kingston. We've all loved The New Day. You know, and to see him as the world champion and to potentially have like a nice, strong, long run, that's everything. You know, no matter what, even if he loses the WWE championship to Kevin Owens at Money in the Bank, and even if he never got another shot at the title ever again, he did it. Kofi did it. You know, 11 plus years in WWE and, you know, plus more in the business in general, you can never take that away from Kofi Kingston. So I love the fact that he's here. I love the fact that Kevin Owens is back. I love the fact that Sami Zayn is back. Superstar shakeup makes some things exciting. What matches are we going to get? Where are we going to be come SummerSlam? You know, where are we going to be come Survivor Series? Where are we going to be come, you know, Royal Rumble next year, WrestleMania? As a fan, that's what excites me, is what is the possibility. And I know I probably let, you know, people's comments online get to me a lot more than they probably should. And I don't want to say they get to me, but I don't know. It just really disappoints me when people want to say they're a huge wrestling fan, and then the other hand, they spend 99% of their time just complaining about everything. You know, it's like, and not saying that you can't complain, but like, just, you can speak your like how you feel. And I'm not saying that people can't dislike things. Just let's be open-minded, guys. Again, that's enough of the ranting on that. But no, guys, Superstar Shakeup has come and gone. The new season is here, and it feels different. You know, usually when WrestleMania ends and that Raw after happens, usually it's a new season now, and we feel that with the shakeup and the new matches we're seeing, the new champions we have, and I'm super, super excited, especially when you look at the champions list. Like, let's go up and down, you know. Raw, you have Becky Lynch as the champion, you have Seth Rollins as the champion, Samoa Joe as the U.S. champion, you have Tony Nese as the Cruiserweight champion, you have the Iconics as the Women's Tag Team champions, you have the Hardy frickin' boys, and I'll tell you, the Hardy boys look like $1 million. Matt Hardy, I don't know what he's doing, but he's lost weight, he's built muscle, he looks like what he did 20 years ago. You know, the Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins are the Raw Tag Team Champions. Finn Balor's the Intercontinental Champion. You know, Becky Lynch's Becky Two Belts. You know, Kofi Kingston's the WWE World Heavyweight Champion on SmackDown. And, like NXT is running wild. You know, the Viking Raiders are still the Tag Team Champions, which I'm only going to assume they're going to lose it soon. You know, Shayna Baszler's still a Women's Champion. I don't know why. I don't know how, but she is. Velveteen Dream is the North American Champion. Johnny Wrestling is the freaking NXT Champion of the World. And the list goes on and on. And by the way, this one last thing. If you're not watching your NXT, number one, make sure you're watching your NXT. You got to make sure you're also watching NXT UK. If you're not, entertain me. Go online and search NXT UK Tag Team Championships. Those are probably two of the most sexiest tag team championships belts I've ever seen, minus the original 90s, early 2000s WWF Tag Team Championship belts. I think they're gorgeous. I think they look great. I love the NXT style. I love the NXT look of the belts. They're vast, amazing, great, and plethora of independent talent that's come together. Okay, I'm done being ranty, guys. I'm sorry. I love you all. Thank you so much. We're going to wrap it up here. Thank you for your patience once again. Thank you for everything. This show, I didn't want it to be too, too long. I know I've been a little ranty in this show, kind of talking about different things that I love, different, you know, whether it's a good rant or a bad rant. You know, I've just had a lot on my mind this past week, and usually each week I can vent it out, and not being able to vent it out to you guys and speak my mind and speak my passion to you guys, it threw me off. It really did, and it really upset me, and I'm really sorry about that again. And you know, we might not have all these hundreds and thousands of listeners, but for those of you who that do listen, know that I extremely appreciate everything you guys do for me and the podcast. I appreciate the download. I appreciate the support. And once again, my name is Mark. This is 613 Wrestling Podcast. We will be back next Thursday, next week, actually, if everything goes well with my schedule, there will be two shows next week. The original show will drop next Thursday, and my hope is on Tuesday, I am going to do the very first watch-along. What pay-per-view? You got to follow on Twitter. I'm going to be revealing that very, very soon. I was thinking about doing a poll, but then I kind of said, nah, you know what, maybe I'll kind of look through the network, and I believe I found one. All I'm going to say is it's from 1996. That's going to be the guess. And I'd love to hear your take on what pay-per-view you think I might want to go over and to do a watch-along for. But once again, guys, thank you so much for everything. Thank you so much for the love and support. My name is Mark. Hope you have a great evening, and I will catch you on down the road. Take it easy.